Well, it is so fun to be here because I have heard Matt talk so much about all of you in the best way possible and what God's doing here. And so I'm like pumped in American language, so excited, pumped to see everybody here this morning. So you'll have to forgive me for my geography, but I am from the States, from a state called Nebraska. So we're right in the middle of the United States. And if you're wondering why you've never heard of it, it's because there's not much there. We were telling Liz yesterday, it's literally called the flyover states. So people fly over us to go to Colorado or through us to go to Texas or, you know, directly across the middle to get to Chicago. But very few people actually land up in Nebraska, and if you do, it's probably because you're on the interstate, the major highway that it goes right through the center. So back in the day, Nebraska was right a part of the Oregon Trail. So you'll see this, and a lot of people that I meet around the world, particularly in Europe, ask us, do you still live like that? Believe it or not, we do have electricity, running water, and all the things. So this is a little bit of my childhood, and as I was praying and worshiping with you guys this morning, I was just thinking, Lord, all jokes aside, Nebraskans, we're not very special. But I've often asked the Lord, like, why me? Like, why is there this burning fire in me? And he continues to remind me that it's not because you're really special, and it's not because you're from anywhere real special. It's not because you had a super high education. It's because I use people who believe that I'll use them. And I truly believe from the bottom of my heart that God comes where he's wanted. So as we just come together this morning to hear about God's heart for all the nations and unreached people groups specifically, that can feel really far away. It can feel like some far off lofty thing that only the, you know, the elite task force of Christian world get to be a part of. But I actually believe that if we're going to do the thing, if we're going to see, you know, the quickening of the Lord and the expansion of the gospel in our generation in a way that I believe we can, that it's going to take all of us. And I just believe that from the bottom of my heart, in part because of just the sheer faith that God has given me and put inside of me. But it's mostly because of the faith that I've seen in people around me. And as I was with you guys this morning, I was thinking about my grandfather. My grandfather was a pioneer missionary, and he went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. And when he was on his deathbed in the hospital, his hand was raised in the air, and he was preaching about unreached people groups and that the promised land is there for anyone who wants to take it. And that was my grandfather. And I think it's Einstein, someone important, said that if we can see anything, it's because we stand on the shoulders of giants. That's how I feel. Like, really insignificant, just a chick from Nebraska, but here we are. And what's most important is that God is willing to come where he's wanted. So the next slide, you'll see, this is what we're known for. Right? Corn. Our state football team were the Corn Huskers. My grandfather was actually a crop dusting pilot, so he worked in agriculture, and then God called him out of that to fly aircrafts into the jungles of Papua New Guinea, Venezuela, the Philippines, to take the gospel and the materials of the gospel into the nation. So he was just an agriculture guy from Nebraska that God used to start an aviation ministry. So that was kind of how I got introduced to missions, in a sense. And next, you are going to see something really special about Nebraska. So I haven't seen Stonehenge, but I think it's like a really big deal. And we made a replica. This is not a joke. This is a real place. Of Stonehenge with old beat up cars. And kid you not, 75,000 to 100,000 people a year go to look at that. Can you believe it? Isn't that so pathetic? So when I'm talking about, like, we're not special, like, this is the level I'm talking about. Like, this is the extremes we have to go to say, you know, you should really come to Nebraska. But if you can continue ahead. We are going to look today at God's heart for all people. And I remember as a young Christian, I was had a Jesus as Lord moment when I was in college. I was pursuing all the things of the world, and God got a hold of my heart, and he called me to follow him in a way of, it really radically changed my life. And so when I did that, I started to share my faith with others. I started to read the Bible, because if I was going to be about this Jesus, I wanted to know a bit more about him. And so I was reading the Bible and trying to understand how the whole thing fit together. And I don't know if for some of you, maybe you've got all that figured out. I definitely did not. I had bits of pieces of the Bible, read the gospel, some of the epistles, but I did not understand the great narrative of God and the storyline of God. And I just knew there's these things that God had done, there's things he's doing in the world, but what is God doing? And what has he always been doing? And so this started me out on a journey of looking through scriptures and going to classes and trying to understand what was God doing? And what has he been doing from the beginning that I can be a part of with him with my lifetime? Because I didn't want to be doing some other thing. I wanted to join him in the thing he was doing. So that took me to the Old Testament. And I'm sure as some of you have been a bit confused in the Old Testament, reading these books, and I was like so confused, like, God, why is there all this hype and conversation about one ethnic people group, the Israelite people? And I just was on a journey to figure out what was the big deal with this chosen people. And so that took me to reading this scripture in Genesis. And what I discovered, and what I hope that we will, many of you already know this, but for me, that this was the first time I was understanding that God had chose a people so that all people could know him. He set apart a nation so that the nations would know that there's a true way to the living God. And when that changed for me, everything about my life changed. And so I want to take us to Genesis chapter 12 this morning and just read this together. I'll read it out for us. As my voice goes, I might call on some of you to read, so stay awake if you can manage it. I've been sick lately, so I'm just, you know, we're just going to give it a go. But in Genesis, the Lord is talking to Abram, a man after of faith in God. And he said, told him to go from his country and your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and who curses you I will curse. And all of the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So this starts before this, but we continue to see that God has communicated with a person and invited this person to trust him in faith, that he would use their people to be a light for all the nations. And this was fascinating to me, and I just kept reading through the Bible. And I was reading different stories about these people of God in Scripture and how God was consistently using a nation to show the world that he was the way to the Father, that he was the God, the living God, the God of salvation. And you see this over and over and over in the Old Testament stories, that God was saying to the Israelite people, this is about you, but it's not all about you. And I think there were many times where maybe that was forgotten or not understood or lived into in that way, but Jesus came to fulfill that very mission. And I just want to bring our attention to Daniel. I could go to so many different scriptures, but we just don't have the time today. But with Daniel in the lion's den, this was the proclamation of faith of King Darius to the people and the nations around them when Daniel was saved from the lion's den. So how often do we read that story and think about the faith of Daniel, the righteousness of Daniel, the goodness of God to save despite? And I was thinking about this morning, but really that is all true. And I want to bring our attention to this. And King Darius wrote to all the nations and the people of every language in all the earth. Incredible gospel proclamation here. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he's the living God, and he endures forever, and his kingdom will not be destroyed, and his dominion will never end. And he rescues, and he saves, and he performs signs and wonders in the heaven and on earth, and he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Amen? This changed my whole paradigm. And in Psalms, we know a familiar scripture, which is so good, that says, be still and know that I am God. But that's not the end of this passage. The rest of the scripture says, I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So he's bringing us to the stillness and reminding us that he's doing it. And I think in a strong way throughout the rest of scripture, inviting us to be a part of that with him. We continue to see in Jesus picks up this mantle. And if you go through the life of Jesus, which you guys already have, I'm sure, but it is fascinating to me how Jesus was for his people and reminding them, calling them, imploring them to be a part of what God had always called them to be a part of, to live into the identity that he had always given them, to be a blessing to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, the non-Israelite people, to the nations. And they consistently, some participated in that mission with Jesus, and some did not. But what we see is that Jesus picked up this mantle, and his commission to his disciples was therefore go and make disciples of all the nations in Matthew. There we go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. So right there, it says the word nations. The word nations there is translated as ethne. So it's not necessarily exclusively referring to geopolitical entities. It's talking about the ethnic peoples of the earth. So like we saw in Genesis, and you can dig into this on your own, and it was just fascinating to me. Jesus came and was reminding, calling, and inviting his people into the mission that he had been doing from the beginning, that all the nations of the earth would come to know that Jesus is the living God, that he is the way to the Father in heaven. And this wasn't a new thing. And sometimes when we think about missions, we think of this as a Matthew or an Acts type commission. But I want to remind us, this is what God has always been about, that he has a multi-ethnic family in the world that he wants to be at the table. And with 3P at our meetings this week, we were taking communion. And it was a powerful moment for me that we were all taking communion and enjoying the Lord's Supper together. And someone stood up and said, who has not yet received this? Who has not yet been served? And we started naming the people groups, this people group, that people group, the Pashto people group, the Beja people group, and they have not yet received this meal. But this is very much what Jesus was on mission to do. And he wasn't going to leave us to do it without power, because we need that. We need this filling of the Spirit to be a part of this. And so in Acts 1:8, which we were talking about this morning, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And on the next slide, what I want you to see here is the simultaneous thing, right? And. The only way that we can say the scripture, like, yes and amen, Lord, is if we're thinking simultaneously about the people of God and the mission of God, us where we are and where we're not. Not minimizing where we are because we can't be everywhere. That's too high a view of self. Let's give that God that higher view and say, Lord, I want to be about this where I am, and I want to pray for those who do not yet know you, so that this progression of the gospel would continue to advance in the earth. And that's what we're going to dive into more as we go ahead. But I want us to just look quickly in Galatians. And this just, again, gives us this reminder that the faith and the children of Abraham, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. This is, again, Paul reminding us this mission. This is what we're here to do. And again, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It continues later. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Do you see this? This is this expansion, this gospel for them, but through them. It was about them, but it wasn't only about them. Praise God, because I think if it only was, a lot of us wouldn't get to be here and be a part of this in this way. And we get to see the end picture, Revelation 7:9 and 5:9, but we're going to focus on 5:9. Would someone mind reading this out for us while I take it?
And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation."
Amen. Every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. And yet, there are still people right now that are living beyond not the knowledge of the gospel, beyond access to it. And the beautiful thing about our generation is that with modern technology and some of the resources and ministries that God has positioned in our time, largely, not perfectly, but largely, we can know where the unreached people are, and we can really grab a hold of this. So this is going to show you a video. So I wanted to show you guys and try to paint a picture. This video really changed my life. On this, you're going to see dots that start to pop up. And those dots represent the ethne of make disciples of all nations, ethne. And those dots are going to have a variety of colors, red, green, and yellow. Red people group dots mean that they have little to no access as of right now to the gospel in a way they can understand and clearly respond. Yellow is moderate, and green means there's a significant Christian population in that people group. This is zooming you into where Brandon and I lived overseas when we decided to go in all in on this thing, and pretty soon you'll find out why. Because we saw this map, and we started to understand that there was entire, not places, there was entire ethnic people groups that lived beyond access to the gospel. Some of these people groups are multi-millions of people in one people group. And as we saw that, I remember Brandon and I just weeping at this conference, thinking, because again, this was new information for me. I just come to Jesus, faith in Jesus, as a college student trying to figure out what God had for my life. All I knew was that this Jesus that came and set me free, and he gave me hope, and he gave me a reason to be alive. Right now, there's entire people groups that don't have access to the knowledge of him. These people groups, if you live in an unreached people group, most likely you will be born, live, and die, not without having heard the gospel, but without having ever met a follower of Christian one time. This is the disparity of the gospel in our generation, and I'm sorry to bring bad news, but there's good news too. This is a problem. That while we live in relative gospel saturation, there are entire people groups around the world that are living in gospel starvation. And that should do something to us. It should call us to call on the Lord and implore and pray. And another way that some researchy type people like thinking about it, and this makes a lot of sense to me, is green zones and red zones. And the darker red, the darker of the lostness and the spiritual depravity and the lack of access to the gospel. And the green zones represent those with adequate and sufficient gospel access in order to be able to reach their own people groups and places. But the problem here is if people never go from the green zones or the lighter colored zones to the red zones, how will the red zones ever not be red? This calls us to pray for this, to consider how we participate, to come alongside up and train up our global brothers and sisters to be encouraged and spurred on to continue taking the hope of the gospel to the darkest and most dangerous parts of the world, because these dark red zones are red for a reason. If you look at this map, I'll call out a few of them: Somalia, Mauritania, Sudan, Chad, Afghanistan over there in the Asia region, and other parts of the Middle East. These are some of the most difficult and dangerous places to be followers of Jesus. And yet today we know that God has raised up a small remnant, sometimes really, really small. In some people groups, we don't yet know of a follower of Christ, but sometimes there are a few. and we can come alongside and encourage and train and coach them. So that's what we've committed our lives to at 3P and Activate, is being a part of this. So in the next slide, you'll see this 42% of the world's population remains in unreached places, having little to no access to the hope of the gospel. And if you continue on with this, this is where the news gets even a bit worse. And we have to consider this as global Christians. We have to take responsibility in some way for what God's doing in our generation, to be a part of rectifying the great imbalance. Because the great imbalance in research would show us that only 1% of giving to missions is going to those red zones, those unreached people groups. And 3% of all cross-cultural missionaries, 3% of the cross-cultural missionary task force is going to unreached people groups with the gospel. And so we as a faith community of believers want to be a part of changing that, to see that those with the least amount of gospel access can start to get more understanding of Christ. But this isn't just going to happen. That's why I'm sharing it. It's not just going to change all of a sudden. It's not just going to be different. But what I will tell you, and what I'm so excited about in the church today, is that we are seeing a massive diversity of global missions happening. My grandfather, like I mentioned, he was a part of taking the gospel into the jungles of the Philippines. Well, now the Philippines rises among one of the top missionary sending nations in the world. And not that long ago, there were so many people in the Philippines with little to no access to the gospel of Jesus. We all know of the church growth and transformation of South Korea. South Korea is now one of the most incredible mission-sending nations in the world. South Americans, I love going to the north of Africa because it's not uncommon for me to run into South American missionaries that are from Brazil and they're living in North African closed nation. And this is our God. This isn't just about the West to the rest anymore. This is from everywhere to everywhere. This is a multi-ethnic, like, Great Commission party. That's what's going on. And that's what I want to be a part of. And another beautiful thing that we see happening in 3P and Activate and around the world is sub-Saharan African church going north. You know, prepare North Africa for them, right? Like, the kingdom of God's going to be coming to North Africa with their sub-Saharan African brothers and sisters going north with the goodness of the gospel. And these are the things we can get excited about. With 3P and our team at Activate, I say them both together because we're doing the thing together, because that's how we view this next era of missions. We're going to have to be far more collaborative than siloed. We're going to have to wave the banner of Jesus a lot higher than our egos and logos, and we're just kind of over it. And we're like, we just need to work together, and that can be challenging at times, but we want to work together for this great commission advancement in our generation. So a bit of our strategy was that when Brandon and I saw these statistics, and when we were on this journey and God was showing me his heart for all the nations, it was at that time that I met Brandon on a 6-week mission trip. So be careful if you go on a mission trip. Never know what's going to happen. And I met Brandon, and we both had this burning heart for the unreached. And we said together, yes, we have to go. So we moved to South Asia. And that's where we started partnering with local believers in a coaching and training role and coming alongside of them however we could. And a big passion of ours is disciple-making, training, and coaching. And you can imagine making disciples. We're all talking about the people in our lives who are close to us, but they might be far from Jesus at the moment that God's putting on our heart. And we were talking to the youth the other night, hanging out with them. Hey, Becky. And we were talking about this list of people that we all have that we can be writing down and believing God that he's going to give us opportunities to share the gospel. Likewise, in some of these nations, the people that they're writing down on their list to pray for regularly, they're telling them in the church and one of the church planting groups in Indonesia, write down a list of names of the people that are the least likely to kill you if you tell them the gospel. The stakes here are a bit different, and yet we can participate right here in the same exact mission as they are, risking their lives for in Afghanistan and Somalia and other parts of Indonesia. So our strategy is to do simple disciple-making, training, and coaching to come alongside of partners to work together for kingdom collaboration. And another thing we are excited about is sustainability initiatives, because we don't want to partner in a way that's going to not be able to last a long time at the local level. So we recognize that resources that are from outside of that country, when brought into that country, can be really accelerating to the local church to see mission happen, and they can also be extremely damaging. And so what we want to do is come alongside of them with better solutions and sustainability. One of the ways we do that is by helping them start small businesses so that they can be equipped with a small business as they go to an unreached people group, so that they have a reason to be there, they can earn their own income, and they have a platform for the gospel, and they're bringing something to the community that the community needs or needs more of. So they're a vessel of good news as they come into the community. So I wanted to share with you some of our fruit, and I say this with, like, fear and trepidation. Like, for some reason, God's allowed us to see some stuff. And that's not always promised, and we fully recognize that. But as you see this next map, this is where we have come alongside of and partnered with a local partner in an unreached people group where we believe together, God, would you help us to reach this? We have a goal of how many people groups we're believing God for with our local partners, but not only to plant churches, but to plant generations of churches. So I'm not even kidding, and I'm pretty conservative when it comes to numbers and reporting, I'd say. So this is what we know for sure, and I've been to many of these churches. So each one of these circles represents a faith community like you all this morning, who are gathering among unreached people groups on mission to share the gospel and plant new churches. And so we are completely amazed that God has allowed us to see six generations so far of churches in this region that is saturated with one of the world's largest unreached people groups in the world, and to see over 1,000 new believers in Jesus. And if you ask one of these people, how are you sharing the gospel in this type of a context? And they would say, I made my list of people who are close to me but far from Jesus, and I prayed, and I went out, and I shared the simple gospel, and God is changing lives, and we prayed for people, and the Holy Spirit healed people. And that was the story of my friend Priya. So I want to share with you guys, just all this sounds really big, doesn't it? But just not that long ago, I was out in the village in the jungle in South Asia. This is a place I love to go. I feel right at home in the jungle, other than the humidity and the heat is absolutely insane. But Priya was a person that God had put on the heart of a local believer. And he was asking God for people he could pray for, and how he could partner with God and seeing him move and reaching the nations. And this is when Priya, she was sick, and God, through this person, I'm just thinking about your friend who was diagnosed, and I'm just like, Lord, you can do what we can't do, and how God will witness to people through practical love, through the proclamation of the gospel, and through the works of the Holy Spirit. And in her case, he didn't come out and just say, this is Jesus, this is what he did, you know. In this case, she was sick. And so our pastor friend, Prakash, he went and he prayed for her. And Priya was instantly healed from what she was suffering with. And she was telling me the story in the village. And she said, I was like that woman at the well. I went back and I told everybody. Everybody knew about Jesus, my whole village, because I'm sitting with this church, and I'm not sure I might have a slide of her church on the next slide. Yeah, so this is Priya's church, and I'm just sitting in this group, this faith community, gathering for the first time in the jungle. They grow jute. It's absolutely incredible, and I'm just like, how did you all get here? Because this was months. Within months, they were gathering like this, and Priya said, I went and told everybody, and I was like, have you experienced a lot of opposition and challenge? He said, no, Jesus is the best news we've ever gotten. And I've had some problems in my personal life in the village, sure, but this is the best news that we've ever heard. And so this group is now gathering together. They're learning the commands of Christ. They are journeying with Jesus in a program very similar to Alpha and a new discipleship program. And they are celebrating Jesus. And as we were sitting there, I was just really overwhelmed, honestly, and Brandon and I were there together, because Priya's face was just beaming. And she was leading that church, and she was a part of the gospel expansion. And isn't that incredible that someone like God would use somebody like Priya, who didn't know him, who was healed by him, and who was instantly taking her identity in Christ, like, Jesus can do anything because look what he did in me, and I want to be a part of sharing that with the world around me. absolutely beautiful for me to see that. And there are so many stories we could tell. Maybe we'd get more time tonight to share some with you guys. But I'm just here to stand before you to say there's a lot of unreached people groups right now. And I don't know why, but I actually believe it's possible. I believe it's possible that we can be a part of this incredible mission of God and see things that we would never have dreamed. Not because we're real great and we have all the things put together. This morning I woke up with a decent bit of anxiety. I'm just like, God uses us not because we're full of all these things, but because he wants to work where people want him to work. And so what if we just stepped out despite ourselves and said, Lord, would you come? Would you fill me with conviction and belief for the life you want me to live, for the people you've put around me, that you can move? And I don't know if all of y'all are aware, but I think in the world there's just this conversation happening of this, like, people are using the language quiet revival and things that are stirring in the UK. And I love this place because of the people here. I'm just like, love God's family here. And if there's a charge or a commission, it would be like, let's release our voices with love, with the works of the Holy Spirit, and with the proclamation of the gospel. We got to let it loose. And I really do think some of you this morning are still believing God for your children. And some of you are still believing God for your grandchildren. But my grandpa didn't quit believing God for me and for those in my life. And so I just want to call us all to say, yes, Lord, I want to step into who you say that I am. And I want to be a part of this thing. And not some other thing I've made it, but this thing. This whole narrative, the multi-ethnic family of God, whatever that looks like, wherever we are. So let's pray into that together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a mission that's beyond us, because it elevates our view of you, God. It makes us trust you in ways that we don't even know how to trust you for right now. And God, would you just move in our hearts to be a part of your mission of redeeming your multi-ethnic family? And for so many of us, Lord, that's going to be stepping out and sharing with our family and with our neighbors and with our coworkers and doing things that make us really uncomfortable. Because, Lord, if we want to see you do something you have not yet done in our lifetime, we're going to have to do some things that we haven't done in our lifetime yet. And, Lord, would you give us greater faith? Would you show us who you are? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us in ways you haven't spoke to us before? Would you remind us who you uniquely made each of us to be, so that we can step into it and walk into it, because you are worthy of the praise of all peoples. And yet there are people now who are living beyond access to your gospel, and we want to do something about it, Lord. We want to be on this mission together, no matter what our roles look like. And we would say, Lord, have your way. We want to be part of saying, yes, my life was about the mission of Jesus. And when we sit with you in your kingdom, Lord, would we look around and not be surprised? Because that's what we were hoping to see the whole time, is just the sea of people and the diversity in the kingdom, worshiping before the throne, before the Lamb. Lord, would you use us to be a part of this? In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. With our ministry with 3PF, I forgot to get to the most important part, is this is a way that you guys can be a part of it with us. You've heard Matt probably share about this, but on the 3P website, we try to do a good job of articulating ways to pray. And these aren't just, they're not general vague prayers. Like, these are from our partners that are coming off the field that month. So this is ways that you can tangibly step into this with us and pray, because like we said, if we want to see God do this, it's going to take all of us. And so we're just so excited to have some of you jumping on board with our prayer team, and we love to pray together. And I would say that, I think I can say this pretty openly on behalf of 3P, we really want to see our prayer team grow in the UK. Like, we want to see more people. I'm saying, yeah, I can be a part of this in this way. I can commit. Some of you already have. You've given generously to it, prayed for it. But this is a real faith area for us. We're going, man, we need more people raised up I'm here to pray for this work. So we'd really appreciate if you jumped on that. And just as God leads you, we would just, really be honored to be a part of your journey in that way, in some way. So thank you guys for your time. This has been really sweet.
Jess, thank you so much.